Have your Bibles, I've kind of got a short message tonight because of I knew Miss Stephanie was going to speak and share her heart. But if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to talk about a word. We're talking about the church and what's so important about the church. We talked about last time we preached on this was the but God. What happens when the church prays? Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about what happens when the church pays. All right. And when the church pays, you say, "What do you mean?" It's called tithing. It's called tithing, I know in a lot of. I don't think that it's nothing that is not been preached before or nothing that is not being practiced. But we need to be reminded. And maybe some of these younger ones need to be reminded and be taught about tithing. And where you say, "Well, the tithe is not New Testament." Well, I understand that. So we're going to look at all that tonight. But let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for Miss Stephanie and, Lord, what you've done in her heart and in her life and bringing her back safely, Lord, this summer. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for what you've opened her eyes to and how that you've touched her heart. And, Lord, I pray that, God, that you would, Lord, this would be a pinnacle, Lord, of her Christian life. And, God, that, Lord, it would sway her, God, to serve you and, Lord, to change her heart and to serve you faithfully, Lord. And God, to help her to see that the greatest thing and anyone can do, Lord, is to serve you. Lord, there's more joy. There's more contentment. God, there's more comfort. Lord, there's more excitement. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just ever magnify yourself in our lives and help us to see. Lord, I pray you'd be with us tonight as we share the Word of God, Lord, about tithing and about, Lord, finances and, Lord, at the house of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd ever help us, Lord God, to bring glory and honor to you. Lord, we love you. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen. The church is where tithes are to be paid. Now, understand this. He said here, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And understand, we are celebrating today the first day of the week. We are not celebrating the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was yesterday. Sunday is the first day of the week. The reason that we worship on the first day of the week is because that's the day the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected. All right? That's the reason. But notice Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he was writing on them about the collection of the saints. Notice, now concerning the collection for the saints, as if I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now let me say this about this collection right here. You say, "Is my tithe a collection for the saints?" Well, yes, it is. It's a tithe to the Lord. It's our collection to the Lord when we pass the offering plate. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But understand this. You say, "How is my tithe used as a collection for the saints?" Well, understand this. Part of it is that your tithe goes to help take care of the man of God. And that's biblical. We're not going to go there, but we're not going to labor that point. But that's part of what the collections is for. The rest of it, the part of it is we pay our bills with it. All right? We pay our bills so that we can have a place to come and worship. But then we also pass it on out and we give to those that are serving God, and we have helped out it with benevolent needs and different times at different things. And so we see that is with the collection of the saints, and that's why we do what we do. But now people argue with you and say, "Well, why is tithes not in the New Testament? And tithe is a law, and we're not under the law." Well, you're exactly right, but you're wrong, because tithes preceded the law. The tithes was before the law ever came into play. If you have your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter number 14. Tithing predated the law. Genesis chapter number 14. Here in God had called Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12 out of the land of the Chaldeans into the land of to the land that he would show him. We know that Abraham had took Lot with him. Lot had got captured. He'd backslid and got captured there in Chedorlaomer and the king of Elam and Tidal, the king of nations, came and made war, and they took Lot and the kings there captive, and Abraham and his confederates. And according in verse number 13, that's why you know Abraham was from the south, because the Bible says there, and these were confederate with Abraham. All right, so you get that later on. All right, that'd be all right. But anyway, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, verse number 14, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dell. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Now, what did Abraham give him a tithes of? Well, go back to verse number 16. And he brought all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and all of his goods, and the women, and also and the people. And the king of Sodom that were with them. And Abraham blessed Melchizedek, which was a type of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He was the king of Salem, which is the king of peace, and the priest of the Most High God. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Okay? Understand this. He didn't give it to the king of Sodom. That happens in verse 21. The king of Sodom said unto Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the good to thyself." And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." So understand this, Abraham gave God the tithes, and this was before Moses had ever received the law on Mount Sinai. Okay, understand that. This is the first place in your Bible you will find the word tithes. It means the tenth. Now, we'll go to Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. We're talking about how the tithes predated the law. Genesis chapter 28, verse number 22. The Bible says this, if you have Scofield Bible, page 42, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." There's your tithe again, before the law ever came into play. Remember here, Jacob had dreamed the dream, and behold, the ladder set up the earth and top and reached to heaven, and behold, the angel of the God ascending and descending, and he called the place of the name Bethel, and God had told him that he was going to bless him and all that, and bring him into the land in verse number 15. He told him that he was going to keep him, and then he vowed a vow in verse number 20. He said, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way, that I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put him on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I give set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that I shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So understand, Jacob had made a vow to God. He said, "Lord, if you'll provide for me, Lord, if you'll protect me, and Lord, if you'll let me worship you, Lord, I'll give you a tenth of everything that you ever blessed me with." Okay? This is all before Moses. Now go to Leviticus chapter number 27. Leviticus chapter number 27. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. The Levitical law. That's what the word the Leviticus means. The Levitical law. Genesis chapter number 27, verse number 30. Here is where the law of tithing comes into play. Now, understand this. Remember, we've quoted this verse, and we're going to remind you again, according to the Old Testament, the New Testament, Paul wrote there to the church at Corinth and said, these things were written for our examples and our admonition upon whom the end of the world is come. He's talking about the Old Testament. So we see that God had put in His Word. He could have put in anything that He wanted to, but He put in His Word in Genesis chapter number 14 that Abraham gave a tenth there to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, which pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Then we see in Genesis chapter number 28 where Jacob had made a vow to God to give a tenth of everything that God had ever blessed him before the law ever came into effect. Now we see that God had given Moses the law on Mount Sinai and Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30. The Bible says this, and all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Of everything that they were to receive as God had prospered them. Remember that term. Remember that term in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Let every man lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Here, Jacob made a vow and said, Lord, as you prosper me, I'm going to give you a tenth. The Levitical law said, God said, as I prosper you, as the seed brings forth, as the land brings forth, with the fruit of the tree brings forth, and look in verse 32, and if a man will at all redeem all of his tithes, he shall add thereto to the fifth part thereof. He could buy his tithes back, and that was, when you say, what do you mean? He could give, if he was offering there, a substance instead of a financial part, he could give a fifth more of the worth and get those back. Does that make sense? All right. So, but notice in verse 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, and neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. So understand this. Here God is saying, as I have prospered you, as the land brings forth, as the fruit trees bring forth, as the herds bring forth. And remember, they were farmers. That was the only way they made their living, unless they were blacksmiths or goldsmiths, and there were some of those. But understand this. He's saying that you owe me a tenth. The tenth. 10 cents of a dollar. Okay? And I promise you, 10 cents on a dollar is not much today. But I can promise you this, and we'll look here in just a moment. If you don't give the 10 cents, when God takes His 10 cents, it's a whole lot more. And God does that. He does that. And not. Let's go to Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 8. Not tithing is robbing God. Not tithing. If you and I don't give a tenth, now you say, well, that's the law. I understand that, but tithing preceded the law. And these things were written for our examples upon whom the end of the world has come. Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Now, understand, this was after Nehemiah, or during the time of Nehemiah. This was after the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. They'd come back, and they were to build the temple of the Lord, and that's in Haggai, and the house of God was lying waste because they wasn't tithing, and you can go back and do that. But notice here in Malachi chapter number 3. The Bible said this, Malachi 3, I'm in chapter 1, that's the wrong chapter. Malachi 3, let's begin reading in verse number 7. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You mean I can rob God? Yes. You can rob God. How? Of your tithes, and not only your tithes, but what else did he say? Your offerings. See, a tithe is a tenth. An offering is anything over that. Anything that you give over that. And a tithe is what is due unto the Lord for his prospering unto you. And then we see here that if a man robs God, then there's a judgment that comes. The devourer must have been coming in and destroying the fruits of the ground, and the vine should have been casting her fruits. Then that means they should have been falling off. You know, the fruit was falling off before it ever came to ripeness. You know, or he could have sent a storm in, a cold front in, as he did this year in the North Georgia. And man, there's no peach crops. There's no apples. It's destroyed it. What did it? The frost did. Where'd that come from? God. You say, well, is that a judgment of God? Well, I don't know. You tell me. I'm just telling you. You cannot rob God. Will a man rob God? So if you're not tithing and we're not offering offerings unto the Lord, we are robbing God. Now, go to Acts chapter number 2. I told you this is going to be quick tonight. Acts chapter number 2. Page 1152 in your Scofield Bible. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually and daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now let me say this to you. That is not socialism. All right? That is not socialism. But what I want you to understand there, it was the apostles that were called, and those that were going out, and those that had the call to go out and to share the gospel. The Bible said there that they sold their possessions, all right, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. Didn't say they sold all their possessions. Said that they sold some of it. Because now let's look here. I'm going to show you something. Go to Acts chapter number 4, verse number 37. Here's the first church, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostle's feet. That was Joseph, who was by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. He sold all that he had and he brought it and laid it at the apostle's feet and said, here, it's to be used for the glory of God. That's sacrificial giving. Now understand this. Did the church require that? No, because I want you to look at the next verse. Next verse, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira and his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Listen at verse number 4. While it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. they had the power to make the choice of whether or not they wanted to sell it. Is that not what he said? He said, when it was in your hand, you had the power to do what you wanted to with it. After you sold it, you had the power to do what you wanted to with it. The problem is, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You say, what do you mean? Well, I would figure this way. He said he sold it for $30,000 when in reality he sold it for $50,000. He lied. He kept back part of the privy. He was not truthful with it. It was his own to do what he wanted to do. While it was his, he had the power. He was not forced to sell it. He chose to sell it. Look, Barnabas had chose to sell it and came in and laid it all at the apostles' feet. And probably Ananias and Sapphira probably got kind of hooked up in an emotional meeting. And Brother Sammy may have been there moderating it. Amen? Trying to get the last dollar. Because you'd take your shoes off and give them to you. But anyway, back to what I said. But they sold what they had and they came back and they said, here's all of it. And they lied to the Holy Ghost about it. It wasn't the fact that they kept part of it back. It's the fact of the matter is they lied about keeping part of it back. So understand this. What you have is in your power to do with it what you want. Are you listening to me? It's your choice. You have that choice. God has blessed you with it. God has provided you with it. And what you do with it is your choice. But you don't lie about it. All right? Because what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to the Holy Ghost. Both of them died. And Sapphira came in and Peter gave the opportunity for her to be truthful. She lied too. She died. They carried her out. Why? Because they kept back part of the private? No, because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Now, is that not what he said? Look here in verse. Then Peter said in her, verse number 9, how is it that ye have agreed to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Look at verse number 8. Here's the verse. And then Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how did you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? She said, yeah, we sold it for that much. But the fact of the matter is, they had sold it for more or less. I figure they sold it for more. And they kept back part of it. It was private. They said, well, you know, we're going to act spiritual, and we're going to give this much, but, you know, in reality, we got this much, and we're just going to keep it. But now remember, what I'm saying here is this. Number one was they were doing it for show, but number two, it was in their power to do what they wanted to do with it. You do have a choice. You got a choice. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's just start in chapter number 8. Let's start in chapter number 8. I'll be done in just a few minutes. Moreover, verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now understand this. Here, the apostle is writing to this church and describing this church at Macedonia and their sacrificial giving. Okay, understand this. Look here. Sacrificial giving, number one. That's given above and beyond what God requires. Okay? But number one, it begins with self. Verse number 5. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave their selves unto the Lord. They were surrendered unto Him. It begins with self, but go back to verse number 1. It brings about grace. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And God's grace was bestowed greater upon them because of the sacrificial giving that they were willing to do. Now look at here in verse numbers. Look here in verse, let's see. Got the wrong verse there. Verse number 9. Here is the Savior's example. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. We're talking about sacrificial giving, above and beyond the tithe. We're talking about the Church of Macedonia. The grace of God was bestowed upon them greatly. They were given, first they gave their self. They gave their self, and as they gave their self, it brought about more grace. We see the Savior's example. Look in verse number 12. Sacrificial giving singles out none. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. It doesn't single out anyone. It doesn't mean that one that gives has $3 and gives $2 is of any less than that one that has $3,000 and gives $2,000. It's not according to what one hath, it's according to his heart. You see that? It's not, they first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. It singles out no one. But look in verse number 14. It supplies others. Why do we do that? It supplies others. But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality. Now, understand this. We're talking about sacrificial giving. Where does it come from? Look in verse number 2. In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their what? In chapter 8, verse number 2, what's that word? Deep what? Deep poverty. These people didn't have nothing to give. They didn't have nothing. It was deep poverty. But they gave out of joy. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Okay? They didn't have nothing to give. They were in poverty. But they first had gave their self to the Lord, and they knew that there was others out there, and they knew that he that sowed sparingly would reap sparingly, and he that sowed bountifully would reap bountifully. So as they gave out of their deep poverty, sacrificing, going into their accounts that they had laid by in store for their own selves, that savings account, they gave it to be used for the glory of God, that it might be distributed to those saints that didn't have. Called mission giving. Okay? Mission giving. You're giving out of your deep poverty. That tithe is passed upon. We pass the plate on Sunday morning as that tithe, because you, as God, remember, you're laying by as God hath prospered him. Now, we know this. It could be, you can give a greater amount. But we can see by the precedent before the law and the law that God required a tenth. So we see that, and when the children of Israel didn't give a tenth, the Bible, God accused them of robbing him. Okay, so we're talking about the tithe, that's due to God. Here we're talking about sacrificial giving, that we give sacrificially. Okay, I'm not going to drink 10 Cokes this week. I'm going to give that to the Lord. Okay? I'm going to give this much. I'm going to take from myself and I'm going to give it to the Lord to be used for somebody else. Does that make sense? Am I clear there? Why? Because we're giving it. Look in verse 14. But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. But you're giving out of deep poverty. But understand this. Your deep poverty, there's others out there that's in deeper poverty than you are. And we know this, that according to here, that as we give by their abundance also may be a supply for your want. What do you want more than riches? Think about it just for a moment. What would you like to have more than riches? More grace? More grace? He says you're giving out of your poverty and your abundance because you really have more abundance than what they have, even though it's deep poverty on you. But he said they're living in more grace. And he said it may turn around the other way, that there may be a day coming that they have it to give and you don't. Okay? So we see sacrificial giving. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at this. For as touching the ministering, verse number 1, to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I have said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort you, brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before what the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now understand here, they had a zeal. God had spoke to their heart about giving, and they had made a commitment. Paul says, you made a commitment a year ago. He said, now we're making good on this commitment you made. And he said, I'm sending them before you so that when I come and I bring these with you that you've committed to give, he said, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want you to go back on your word. Study it out. That's what he's saying. But now notice here, let's look here. Let's look at the great bounty. We see here, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what that is? That's grudgingly. Okay, not grudgingly. All right, but not only grudgingly, what did he say? Nor of necessity. Well, I got better put some money in because they're going to say something about me if I don't. Lord, I need to give to a missionary. Guess what? You ain't getting no reward. But God loveth a cheerful giver. Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed me and blessed me and prospered me, Lord, that I can share with others. Thank you, Lord. I'm giving you cheerfully. Okay? The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. But he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully and cheerfully shall reap bountifully. So we see here the great bounty, the grudging giver. Look at this verse, number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Y'all see that? That ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You want financial problems and financial woes? You rob God and be a grudging giver. Is that not what he said? He said, you rob me, I'm going to send the devourer. You rob me, he said, I'm going to make the fruit fall off the vine. He said, man, where I go? You give grudgingly, you give out of necessity, you're not cheerful about it. But if you do, Brother Wesley, if you're a cheerful giver, and you don't give begrudgingly, and you don't give it because you have to, you give it because you want to, and you find joy in giving unto the Lord so that somebody else may be blessed. He said, God can make all grace abound to your account. Is that not what he said? And he said, you have sufficient of all things. Well, I just don't know about that. Was God's word a lie? Same word that got you saved. Amen. It's not prosperity gospel. It's common sense. It's common sense. So, I don't know that we need no invitation. We probably all need to come repent for robbing God. Not giving cheerfully. Giving, because I promise you, every one of us probably give grudgingly a time or two. But thank God that we have the opportunity. So when that offering plate comes around, to give to that missionary that's left his home. Amen? Left his family. Took, uprooted his family. Going somewhere else to serve the Lord. It's our job, the church's job, the saints' job, to provide for them and take care of them. That's why we take up a mission offering. That's why we commit to those missionaries so much a month. Why? So they can operate. They know how much money they have going in. They're coming in. Thank God for the opportunity. And may God help us to do it with joy. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you, Lord, for what you've, Lord, exposed us to tonight. God,